Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Next week will be Real Science Friday week here at Bob Enyart Live with Fred Williams and I. We should have a great time. And this Friday, we have a special guest, Walt Brown, Dr. Walt Brown, coming on the show. And we're going to talk about geology and one particular aspect of geology that should be fascinating, should be easy to understand. So if you like science, I tell you, with this information age that we are living with, whatever the claim is, whatever the report is, you could go online and read the article and the anti-article to find both sides of an issue. Darwinism, evolutionists, here's a prediction. They are going to become increasingly shrill, intolerant, and hostile over the next 10 years. It'll be like seeing the death throes of an animal. Survival of the fittest? It's going to be wild, and they're getting hit from every side. And so it's exciting, but also it's going to be ugly. It's exciting from the perspective of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The three shining stars in the body of Christ today are the homeschool movement and the biblical creation movement and the personhood movement. Those are the areas where Christians will be getting the greatest tools and resources for influencing our culture to acknowledge and humble ourselves before our Creator God. So that's going to be exciting. We'll plan on continuing to report on the scientific developments in the creation-evolution debate. There have been a number of news stories I've wanted to cover, and we've been so busy with other things. So let me do some of these right now. The Washington Post has reported that a dog was elected president of a neighborhood group. A dog was elected president of a neighborhood group, and it turns out that after the members, the voting members of this group, they surveyed their bylaws, and there was nothing that could prevent a dog from being elected president. And so they have suggested they need to introduce a personhood bill, and we'll see what happens. This is the Washington Post, February 18th, so that's been sitting around for a while. But it's funny, the things that happen, and according to the story, there was a general apathy, and so a former president of the group decided that he'd enter his dog to run for president. And this is in the Washington Post. And the dog won. The dog won. All right. So personhood is needed everywhere. And you know, the liberals say, do you know how many laws this will affect? Do you know this will affect thousands of laws? And we say, we hope so. I mean, we hope so. I mean, what is a human being? What is a person? Shouldn't that affect pretty much everything? They use the same argument. The U.S. Supreme Court used the same argument against freeing blacks who were slaves. They said, do you realize that this will affect everything? It'll affect property and transportation, and it'll affect who can carry firearms, and it'll affect people gathering and free speech. It'll affect everything. And the proper response is, well, we sure hope so. We sure hope it'll affect everything. So anyway, no surprise that a dog could be elected president of a neighborhood group when they're lacking a personhood bill. Here's an ABC News headline from, this was mid-February also, and you can guess where in the world this was happening, right? So here's the headline, and we all know where this was happening, but it struck my funny bone. Protesters take over Capitol. Legislators flee police jurisdiction. Protesters take over Capitol. Legislators flee police jurisdiction, and it was in Wisconsin. Not Libya, not Cairo, not Yemen. It was in Wisconsin. And, you know, here at Bob and Yurt Live, we typically try to talk about things that require some insight and commitment and understanding. We don't often talk about Barack Obama being a bad president. That belongs, that rightly belongs on iRoll Radio. iRoll Radio, like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Barack Obama is a bad president. Newsflash, this just in, bulletin, Barack Obama is a bad president. Whoa, hey, let me email this to all my friends. We'd rather talk about things that actually take some thought and some wisdom, some insight, some study, some commitment. And this audience, the Bob and Yurt Live audience, the brightest audience in the country, we have, you know, once in a while, we've got people who stumble upon this show, and they might not know that there is a God. They might not know that, or they might think that they're God. And so they need the basics. They need just the basics. And then also, we want to train our audience how to talk with people that don't know that there is a God, there is a creator, and that we have an obligation to love him, to humble ourselves before him. Everything that's beautiful and right and good in the world, all of that is a result of our creator God who made us. A beautiful infant who's born, and you look in his eyes and you're just amazed at his eyes. And the love that the child has instinctively for his mom and the mom's love for the child. You heard about the recent weather catastrophe where a house collapsed and a mom protected her, what, 1.5-year-old child, and the child lived and the mom died. That was a tragic story, but what a perfect illustration. This was reported on CNN. And I remember they said, what a perfect illustration of how forceful Mother Nature could be. And I thought, what a pathetic observation for the story. What a perfect illustration of the love a mother has for her child that is given to that mom and to the child by God, our creator, who loves us. That's why, you know, people think love is such a mystery and love is a romantic thing that nobody could comprehend. That's all bogus, right? You love your kids and you don't pick your kids. You just, you're stuck with whatever comes out. And you love your parents and you don't pick your parents. So people think, oh, there's only one person in the world that I could possibly marry. And God knows who that is, but he's not telling me. And if I marry the wrong person, then I will ruin that person's life. And whoever they were supposed to marry, that poor slob, his life will be completely ruined. And he doesn't even know either of us. And then it'll go all the way around the world. So we try to talk about here on Bob and Yurt Live the things that are significant from an eternal perspective, that there is a God who made us. He put in our hearts love and an understanding of justice. Babies understand right from wrong. That's been established right now today by the secular, by our secular universities doing creative experiments with little kids. The babies, they have a basic understanding of physics. Like you show them a magic show, and some block on the bottom disappears and the whole thing doesn't fall down, and they're mystified. Or there's a good guy and a bad guy, and the bad guy steals some toys belonging to the good guys, and the kids get upset. Well, moms have known this forever. You got a 6-week-old baby, a 2-month-old baby who's nursing, and the baby bites the mom, and the mom flicks the baby's hand and says, don't do that. Just little, flick the baby's hand, little, not hard, just flick it like with your, you know, like that. Well, let me get it right. like that. Flick the baby's hand, and the baby stops, cries, and then never bites the mom again. So cool. So we have in Wisconsin, protesters took over the Capitol building, not to protect the lives of children who are having their arms and legs ripped off, but to protect their own salaries, their own checkbooks, for their own selfish interest. And that's where the media likes that. The media likes that. If these protesters had taken over the Capitol building because they were trying to save children from being ripped apart, literally their arms and legs ripped off by Planned Parenthood and abortion, then those protesters would have all been in jail. They wouldn't have taken over the Capitol for days on end. They would have all been in jail if they were Christians, but they weren't Christians. We'll go to the phones in a moment. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Here in Colorado on KHOW Radio, Peter Boyles did a show. We had an 11-year-old boy arrested in Arvada for writing "Teachers Must Die" in his public school classroom. He wrote "Teachers Must Die" and he drew a stick figure of himself shooting teachers and students. And so, you know, kids murder people. And so Peter Boyles did a whole show on this, an hour, just laughing and defending the kid, the kid's mother, and the kid's psychiatrist, Patrick Bacon. They both defended him, saying he's doing what he's supposed to do. They had told him to write his feelings down. So, and Peter just enjoyed laughing and defending this kid, giving every possible defense or example of how it's good and healthy for boys to talk about who they want to kill. So let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. In Denver, David, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Yes, hello. I was wondering if I could hear from you any thoughts you had on Fred Ebert.
Yeah.
People who aren't in the Denver area may not be aware. He has a science program on a big station here, and he usually tries to keep it fairly upbeat, but, you know, like a lot of scientists, I guess, he just really has a stick in him for this evolution and for,
yeah,
you know, and apparently he was offered a debate by your representative.
One of our producers, right, contacted.
He was quite condescending, I thought, in what comments I heard, and mm-hmm. just flatly refusing, almost like it was beneath him.
Well, but that's what happened later. Did you hear the first program where he mentioned the offer of the debate?
Well, yeah, and then, I mean, I don't know, what you just share with us what happened.
Yeah, well, there was a, let's see, he said that he got an offer for a debate, and I got the transcript of some of that show right here on my computer, David. And he said he wanted to ask his listeners whether or not he should accept the Bob Benyart debate offer of evolution or the age of the earth. And so he said a couple times, he said, you know, I think I'm going to do the debate. Five of his callers said do it. Two said don't do it. And he was talking to Bryce from Loveland, and he said, I think I'm going to do the debate. One person said to him, he said, look, I'm an atheist, but every time I've heard a debate that's civil, where people are talking to one another, I learn things. And so Fred Ebert said, I have no doubt that the people who invited me to do this debate would participate in a respectful debate. And so after saying a couple times he was going to do the debate, a week later, I don't know if he found out, David, that I had already debated a local geophysicist who is president of a geophysical society, John Nickel, and a mathematician from CU in Boulder on the age of the earth. And that debate was judged by the people in the audience, including atheists and old earthers and physicists, to be a slaughter, and that the old earth side lost. And so I don't know if Fred Ebert found that out in the intervening week, but he came on the air the following week, and he said, no way, he's not going to do the debate.
He might be one of these fellows whose, you know, knowledge is a mile wide and an inch deep, you know.
Well, regarding science, I don't think that's the case.
No, he knows pretty good as far as basic physics and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I guess it's just one of these things where...
Well, my guess is, David, that he is very familiar with one half of a controversial issue.
Right.
And if that's the case, you know, the Bible says you might think you know the truth until you talk to the other side. Then you talk to the other side, you find out there's the rest of the story.
Right.
And so it's a bit naive. So I would have an advantage debating Fred Ebert, say, on the age of the earth, because he only knows one side.
Right.
He only knows one side. And there's a tremendous amount. We have on our website at Real Science Friday, we have the list of not so old things, which there's a tremendous list of examples of things that Fred would have a very difficult time explaining to the audience.
Right. No, I really have lost a bit of respect for him through this, and I don't know if he'll reconsider, but for what it's worth, people need to know he chickened out.
Well, David, probably if he hears this segment, he probably definitely won't do it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't owe me anything.
No, and he doesn't.
Right?
But he owes his audience, because he comes on that show and he even has like a political type show that he has started there on Saturdays where he claims to be unbiased discussion, you know.
Oh,
no,
yeah. Unbiased political talk.
Right.
You couldn't be more immature than to say that you're unbiased in the discussion of politics.
And his opinion is that the debate evolution is closed. It's a done deal, a solid. Everyone, you know, agrees. It's fact.
Well, here's a letter that we sent. Let's see. Let me read to you some of the letter that we sent, and maybe I'll read to you a paragraph that we left out. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Fred, thanks for asking your listeners for their thoughts on whether they'd like to hear a debate or not. Bob Enyart doesn't use some of the arguments that you said on the air that you especially dislike. For example, while he rejects neo-Darwinism, he wouldn't waste time by saying that evolution is only a theory. Nor will he be quoting the Bible, but is happy to restrict the discussion to scientific observations. As to what possible value such a discussion could have, public perceptions affect public policy. You undoubtedly know that according to Gallup, on the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth, only 39% of Americans believe in the theory of evolution. And we put a link in this letter, David, to Fred Ebert, so he could confirm that for himself.
Right.
That Gallup on the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth said only 39% of Americans believe in the theory of evolution. So if he thinks it's a done deal, no reason to discuss it, well, what is he doing, his radio show only for some elite group? Our letter went on, and to factor in education levels, for example, you could look at the surprisingly large percentage of MDs, medical doctors, one-third who are not committed to neo-Darwinism, with only 63% of physicians agreeing that the theory of evolution is more correct than intelligent design. And that's a study of 1,500 MDs. Imagine that, a third saying, hey, we don't know if Darwinism describes it, or maybe intelligent design does, that we were designed by a creator of some kind. And this is not just Southern Bible Belt fundamentalists, Fred, but one-sixth of Jewish doctors, half of Catholic, and three-fifths of Protestant MDs believe that intelligent design is a, quote, legitimate scientific speculation, unquote.
Didn't even Einstein have something to say about the more he saw or the more he learned about science, the more he realized there had to be some sort of a God?
Well, not really. Einstein said he believed in Spinoza's God, which is basically nature, and a reverence for nature. He did say things like God doesn't play dice with the universe, and he was awestruck by the mathematical beauty of the laws of physics and the constants in the universe. And he said that it's inconceivable that we could be speaking using ideas, because ideas are not made up of matter and energy. They're not physical. And so how could we be expressing ourselves with ideas? That means that materialism doesn't tell the story. Materialism can't tell a story. You have to use words and ideas to tell a story, and they're not physical. So should I read you the rest of this letter to Fred Ebert?
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt to hear that.
All right, I'd like you to chime in your thoughts. Fred, yes, we agree. It's often wise to avoid debating tiny minority views because the debate itself can promote and give credibility to even harmful claims that most people have never seriously entertained or even heard of. However, the rejection of Darwinism is far too pervasive for that strategy to be viewed as an effective remedy to the current situation, from his perspective. Eventually, the truth wins out. Even whether there's life after death or not, whether there is a creator or not, whatever, the truth will win out. And another paragraph. And if you'll consider this, Fred, an article in the New York Times says that the Tucson murderer, Jared Loughner, believed in two extremist theories, that our government was behind the 9/11 attacks and that modern banking is inherently unjust and enslaves the masses. On the air, Bob forces himself to take time to debate such topics in order to educate people so that those misinformed have a better chance of getting educated. When such matters are kept in the dark and not openly addressed, they're allowed to fester, and the situation easily deteriorates. Having had a computing career and having worked at Microsoft and McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company, Bob debated some of the leaders who were profiting off of the Y2K scam. Also, Bob may be more successful than other voices in getting extremists who had advocated killing abortionists to now reject that view. And then there's a paragraph we left out, David, and this is it. Finally, Fred, we think it's only fair to let you know, even though this might make you decide to forego a debate, recently in a moderated debate between Bob and a Christian high school teacher against a well-known geophysicist and a mathematician from CU up in Boulder, in an Age of the Earth debate before a live audience downtown Denver, afterward, the old Earth crowd in the auditorium was disappointed in their side, and an atheist physicist who flew in from Seattle to watch the debate commented and later wrote that the old Earth team lost the debate. So, an Age of the Earth debate or an evolution or Big Bang debate, that interest, and we sent him this part of it, David. This is the conclusion of the letter we sent to him. So, an Age of the Earth debate or an evolution or Big Bang debate that interests educated and uneducated people alike is always fascinating to audiences. And as atheist Dylan said to you on Sunday morning, as long as this discussion is civil, it's almost always illuminating in many ways. So in the spirit of the public discussion of widely held controversial positions, we remain happy to debate if you'd like to. Thanks for the consideration. Jefferson George, producer, Bob Inert Live.
You know, the only thing that might, and I don't know if this would be ethically the right thing to do, but at some time in the future, if you're going to have another debate of some sort, in a, you know, public auditorium,
yeah,
like you did before, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, publicly invite Fred so that he's has to publicly...
Well, we're doing it right now, David. We have 50,000 watts here. This is more powerful than when Fred Ebert's on Sunday morning in KOA.
Right.
Our signal goes further than his signal.
No kidding.
They brag about being the blowtorch of the Rocky Mountains. They're the blow dryer of the Rocky Mountains. KLTT, AM 670, is the blowtorch. We're on AM radio, and Fred should know this because he's a physicist, right?
Right.
Radio waves go further the lower they are on the AM dial. The lower they are on the dial, the further they go. So he's way up at 850 with 50,000 watts. We are down at 670, way below KOA, with 55,000 watts. Now, we only say 50 because everybody says 50,000 watts, the full power, clear channel type stations. They all say 50,000. KOA is 50,000. We are 55,000 watts, way down at 670 AM. And so we are publicly inviting Fred Ebert to a debate on the age of the Earth.
Right. Well, maybe he'll get some feedback and realize that he's letting his fans down to whatever extent he has fans out there.
Well, and it would be fun, wouldn't it?
I think so.
It would be fun. And whoever got a shellacking would just have to study more.
That's right. And, you know, maybe he's just afraid you might change some of his views on it and...
He said that's absolutely not possible. He said that on the air. Mm-hmm. And that's because he has an open mind.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how those two things went together, but. All right. Hey, thank you so much, David.
Right on.
Appreciate that. So we're about out of time. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So before David called in, before his name came up on the board here, I had mentioned that Peter Boyles on KHAL Radio spent an hour making fun of, defending, and laughing about, yucking it up, about this 11-year-old from Arvada who wrote, "Teachers, They Must Die," and then drew a picture of himself shooting teachers and other students in school. And Peter's laughing about this, and I didn't quite get that. And then a few days later, there's an actual case in Colorado where a 12-year-old shot to death his parents. Both parents killed them, murdered them, and shot his two youngest siblings, a brother and sister, ages 5 and 9. And I didn't quite get why Peter and the psychiatrist are saying, "Hey, this kid's perfectly fine." I didn't get that.